It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading with verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, and read to the end of the chapter. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies there. I hope that you would enjoy them, come to know the Lord Jesus. Please, that you would look into our website. I'd love for you to take a look at it. And if you'd like to email us, you can email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just fine. Now, let's get into the study, Matthew chapter 20. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and follow along and enjoy the study. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto you, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried out more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Beautiful, beautiful message in that. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to look to your word, to enjoy it. It's just such a joy to come and open your word and enjoy it and be led by your spirit as he guides us through, teaches us the truth. I pray, Father, that all that are listening know you as their personal Savior, that they have invited you to come into their heart. That's the only way that they're going to have understanding. That's the only way that they're going to enjoy the wisdom and the joy, the peace that comes from knowing you and growing and learning of you. And so please, guide and lead us today. Bring those folks, Father, that do not know you to you. Show them the way. And I pray that they open their hearts. They open their minds up and say yes as they are convicted of their sin and then brought to salvation by introducing your Son Jesus to them. Thank you, Father, for the great work and ministry that we have, that we enjoy, that we have so freely to possess. So please, dear Father, guide and lead us now. Grow us in your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we looked at these words here, we have the word many. And I want you to understand that as we look at that verse of Scripture, we also found it in Matthew 26:28, and also then we looked at 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Now, that's the verses of Scripture that we read each month when we have the Lord's Supper, and it's such a joy to study that. But we're gonna go back there very quickly here and kind of start there today, as we always do a little bit of review. Now, let me begin here, and as we look at these verses of Scripture, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself concerning the Lord's body." Now, when we look at this scripture here, it gives us the beautiful example of what happened on the cross of Calvary. And if we desire to enjoy and to have our sins forgiven, and as the scripture says, without, and let's come down to Hebrews, let's go one more, and then we're going to come back here to 1 Corinthians, because I want you to fully understand what the purpose of the Lord's Supper is for each one of us. Now, we have Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission." Now, that word remission means more than just remitting or canceling a penalty. It means the letting loose from the sins which brought the penalty. The penalty of sin is death. He came to bear that penalty in our stead. And so again, it means the letting loose from the sins which brought the penalty. That is a tremendous statement. That's what that word remission means. Now, as we come back to 1 Corinthians and we enjoy the Lord's Supper, that speaks of the blood and the body. It speaks of the crucifixion and the shedding of blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So when you take the Lord's Supper, I want you to be thinking about what Jesus did on the cross. I want you to think about his body was so brutally beaten, and yet not one bone was broken, but his body was so brutally beaten, and he was hung on the cross. He shed his precious, perfect blood for you and for me. He took on the body of a man, born of a woman, not of a man. But he took on this body, this physical body, but his blood is perfect. And so when he shed his blood, that's what gave us life. He died for our sins, shed his blood. And again, that word remission means to letting loose from the sins which brought the penalty. So when we have the Lord's Supper now, let's come back to it very quickly before we go back to Matthew. I want you to understand that when you're taking of that bread, that pictures his broken body. And remember that. I mean, it's not what the picture looks like with one little trickle of blood coming down his forehead and from his hands and his side. He was so brutally beaten, the scripture tells you don't even know what he looked like, that he was human even. He was so beaten. And then he shed his blood. So when you take the bread, you think of what he did for you on the cross. And then when you enjoy the juice, you understand that represents his precious blood in remembrance of me. It's not his, you know, some believe that it becomes his blood, it becomes his body. Not that at all. It is in remembrance of what he has done for you. But the only way that this can really mean anything to you is if you know him as your personal Savior. So I hope that you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trusted in him. The blood was shed for the remission of sins, and it is his blood alone that brings remission. Remission means the letting loose from the sins which brought the penalty. Made clean. Made clean. What a wonderful, wonderful statement. And so I wanted to spend just a little bit of time right there. And it's such a joy. Jesus alone finished the work. Our redemption is because and through him and him alone. No one helped him. Nothing can be added to. It is finished. He has finished that work. So you don't have to follow in baptism, as some teach. You don't have to come back each week or once a month and take the Lord's Supper to have the forgiveness of sins. Those are all doctrinal lies that should not be taught, because if you come truly by faith to Jesus and trust in him, and you trust in him because you've been convicted of your sin, the Holy Spirit does this. And then the Holy Spirit introduces you to Jesus. And you say yes, and that's it. It's finished. He has finished the work. He finished the work 2,000 years ago. But it's up to you to come, and I want you to come. It is done. It is finished. And Jesus said then, follow me. What a wonderful, wonderful scripture verses here. Jesus clearly tells us, and let's go to the Gospel of John 14:7. And then we'll continue down into the 29th verse of Matthew. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. That's Jesus speaking. And he is speaking to his Father. I have finished the work you have given me to do. Now let's come on down to verse 29. Verse 29, Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Now arriving into the area, we can go back to the 19th chapter, verse 1, and we can catch up to what's going on here. Chapter 19 of Matthew, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan. And so we were there until now we find ourselves departing, and as they departed from Jericho. And the great multitude followed him. Now, leaving, it's about 8 miles west of Jordan, and they're about 19 miles northeast from Jerusalem. It is a very large and busy city, second only to Jerusalem. Now, it is very small. It has been diminished to almost nothing. But as we find here that it announces the place that they were, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." But the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. A beautiful scripture verse. One reason I wanted to read all of that is because now we're going to go to Mark and look at the same beautiful event that took place. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, and he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What a beautiful story. This one here, they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho, and back here in Matthew, why, as they departed from Jericho, and we went to the beginning of 19th chapter, because that's when they entered Jericho. And now we have one more, and so we have some names with this one. And so let's go now to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Verse 35. Luke 18, 35. And it came to pass, as they was come nigh to Jericho, a blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what he meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And so each time we have, now, don't think that there's any kind of a contradiction here in the scripture. Two of them make very clear that they're leaving Jericho. Here it tells us come nigh unto, so they are, it as each one see it, it's a little bit different. They are leaving Jericho, and each time, and as the other two gospels tell us clearly that he was there and leaving, they were not necessarily in a Jericho. And so here they're nigh Jericho. So it appears that these the man that was healed and the men that were healed, here Luke just speaks of one. But we know that there are hundreds that Jesus healed from their blindness. Hundreds. He also healed the lepers, the lame, every aspect of human physical healing that was needed. Jesus saw fit to heal them. And so many times when he would come into an area, it would say that all were healed. Sometimes it was just individuals that was healed, that he would look at it here. And so I wanted to touch base. Don't be concerned that Luke just speaks of one. Matthew and Mark speak of two. Mark lists the names. Matthew does not. But it still gives us a great, great hold and thought on the message. And I wanted you to see those. Now that we look back to Matthew, it starts out a little bit different. It says, behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, sitting along the road, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. The name, the promised Messiah was to be known as the son of David. That was their reference. They spoke wisely. The first verse in Matthew's gospel says, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Let's look back at that. And they made that same reference, that same statement. In the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. And then it goes, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and just continues from there. And so we need to see that. Let's go to one more place here back in Psalms. I hope that you love opening your Bible, searching the Scripture. We do this whether it's on Sunday morning in Sunday school, whether it's during the message. We are literally in school. We are learning the Word of God. We're learning the Word of God because we have come to know the Lord Jesus. And if there's someone that comes that does not know the Lord Jesus, we pray that they are saved quickly and that they can enjoy the precious Word. And God's the only one that can save. We give the Word out and we pray that they are touched by the Holy Spirit and come. We're in Psalms 132, verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Verse 12, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon the throne forevermore. What a promise. What a promise. Let's come back to Matthew now. And so we understand why, and it was a proper statement, O Lord, thou son of David. The multitude rebuked them. Why would the multitude rebuke them? Why would they do that? It's believed that they were listening to Jesus. Jesus was speaking. Jesus was teaching. He is always teaching. What a joy it is. I love to teach. I love to teach the Word of God. It is such a joy each time, and I have been teaching the Word of God for well over 40 years, and I am more excited about God's Word today than ever. It is God's living Word. It touches my heart. It touches people's hearts. It changes people's lives, and it's such a joy. It's the greatest book ever. It's a wonderful book. How can you study and read one single book for over 40 years, and say that you're continuing to learn something? You're growing from it each time. Well, you can say that about the Word of God. And again, please, I beg you to stay with the old King James. Don't leave it. You leave it, you're pulling some of the power of the Holy Spirit away that you need to teach you the Word of God. And maybe you're already saved and you've changed into another version because, oh, it's so much easier to understand. Do you realize that you are weakening the power when you talk to somebody else about Jesus? Don't do that. Don't do that. Stay with that. Why did the multitude try to quiet them? It's because they couldn't hear Jesus. They were listening to Jesus as they walked down the road. And all of a sudden, word came to these two blind men, and we had the names back in Mark, and they were shouting with such a loud volume, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And they kept screaming that, literally at the top of their voice. They couldn't see. They didn't know. They'd heard that Jesus was nearby. And so they cried out, hoping that he would hear, hoping that he would respond. But the first ones that responded were the multitude. So, will you be quiet? I can't hear him. But that didn't stop them. That did not stop them because they wanted Jesus to hear their voice and respond to them. The multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord." The call was out, "Have mercy on us." And there was only one in this whole world that's ever lived that could have mercy on them. And they did. They had mercy. They needed mercy. And the only one that had the mercy was Jesus. Let me clarify that. They desired mercy, and they were calling on the only one that could give real mercy. We can show mercy, but not equal to what our God can. Once again, the multitude rebuked them. They couldn't hear Jesus. Jesus was teaching. Jesus was talking as he was traveling. And now all of a sudden here comes these shouts from these men, and they couldn't hear him. And so they said, "Shh, be quiet. Be quiet." But that didn't work because that just raised their voice all the more. And Jesus stood still. He stopped. And he called them. And he asked them a question. "Well, what will ye that I shall do unto you?" What do you want? And they said, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." That our eyes may be opened. Jesus will always hear your call. When Jesus is close, and now in this dispensation, in this time, we have the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings Jesus to our door. He's the one that brings Jesus close to us and brings this question. And what the Spirit does to us is show us our wickedness. "What would you have me to do?" And these men, there's one, two, three, a dozen, we don't know. We know that there are at least two. And they want to see. And they say unto him, "Lord, that their eyes may be opened." And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Once he came close, they called. And when he was called, "Ask, what shall I do?" Jesus never ignores someone that has a desire to find Jesus. And they didn't put the answer off. "I want to see. I want to see." Jesus had compassion on them. We've got a scripture verse back in Matthew chapter 24 that we're going to look at next time we get together. As always, we run out of time. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?